Welcome to this Krishna Consciousness Program. And once again, I'd like to invite all the listeners to the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Coatesville Riverhead Highway, also known as Highway 28. And there, today, we have a very special program. Normally, we have midday programs on every Sunday, starting at 11:30. Followed by in discourse on Krishna consciousness from 1 to 2, and Guru Puja of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we normally finish the day's program with vegetarian feast at 2:30. But today, we will be celebrating the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the founder of the Sankirtan movement. The program will start at 4 in the evening and will finish up at 8:30 with prasad. Please come along, join us and celebrate the festival of Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today we'll look at what is our real problem. People lament that they do not have water supply in the apartment, or that they do not have a nice car or a high-paying job or a plentiful bungalow. Being caught up in the immediate problems of life, they hardly think of the real problems that every one of us has to face in life. If we do not find solutions to these problems, we will have to suffer perpetually in this world, birth after birth. All the petty problems that we face in our day-to-day lives are a subset of these four real problems of life. The problems that fulfill the above three criteria are explained below. Check whether you can identify them. One is death. No one wants death. In Garuda Puran, one of the ancient Vedic scriptures, it is mentioned that that death is extremely painful, and the dying person experiences pain that is equivalent to 40,000 scorpions biting simultaneously. The great sage Kapildev informs about the ghastly nature of the experience of birth, of their death. In the diseased condition, the dying person is his person's eyes bulge due to the pressure of air from within, and his glands become congested with mucus. He has difficulty in breathing, and there is a rattling sound within his throat. Thus, he dies most pathetically. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 30, Text 16 to 18. The soul is so habituated to living in the body that he must be forced out by the laws of nature at the time of death, just as a person suffers greatly when he is evicted from his home. Similarly, the soul suffers immensely when he is forcibly kicked out of the body in nature. In nature, we see that even the tiniest creatures display amazing abilities and techniques for escaping death when their lives are threatened. But death is inevitable, and all the living beings and everyone has to face it one day, though it is fearsome and painful. And old, next one is old age. No one wants to get old. An American millionaire spent millions of dollars employing several doctors to find out whether he could stop getting old and remain youthful forever. But the doctors realized that even if they were to understand the mechanism of aging, they wouldn't be able to do anything about it, just as they couldn't stop the rising and setting of the sun. Thus, the inevitable time does not spare anybody. We were all children one day. Years ago, we grow to youth and eventually to old age. People capture sweet memories because they know that when they are forced to grow old helplessly, their appearances won't look sweet anymore. The cosmetic industry is flourishing due to fear of old age. Next one is disease. No one wants any disease. There are so many different kinds of diseases, and medical science is trying to find out remedies for them. But medical history shows that by the time science finds the cure for some disease, another, even more deadly disease comes up, as has happened in the case of cancer, gonorrhea, AIDS, etc. We may cure one disease for some time, but we cannot eradicate all diseases. The pain suffered through the disease is a common experience for everyone and needs no explanation. And then birth. No one wants to suffer the pain of birth. Birth is an extremely painful experience for the living entity. For 9 long months, the human fetus lies cramped within the darkness of the womb, suffering severely, scorched by the mother's gastric fire, continually jolted by sudden movements and feeling constant pressure from being contained in a small sack which surrounds him in the womb. This tight, constricting package forces the child's back to arch constantly like a bow. Furthermore, hungry worms in the abdominal cavity torment the child. the child passes stool and urine in the same packet. Such is the misery of the birth. As Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that it is very important for everyone, saying human beings, to perceive the evils of birth, old age, disease and death, and find out the permanent solution for them. Some people may argue the problems of birth, old age, disease and death come only once in a while. We can just ignore them and enjoy life for the remaining time. But at every moment, everyone is suffering due to at least one of the following threefold miseries. Miseries caused by one's own mind and body, adhyatmic. The body and the mind give rise to innumerable problems. According to World Health Organization, the statistics in the year 2000 in America, 19 million youths were suffering from mental-related illness. Everybody, 12,000 youths were attempting to commit suicide, and one-tenth of them were successful. Thus, sometimes people are driven to a point of suicide due to mental frustration. In old age, the deteriorating body gives varieties of problems. For example, once a person grows beyond 80 years, generally he can't even sit or stand without back pain. Misery is caused by other living entities, adibhautik. Even if we have a healthy body and a healthy mind, others will not let us live in peace. Even if everybody is nicely arranged in our life, some other living entities, such as our enemy, boss, child, colleague, relative, family members, or friends, tourists, etc., or no one else, then a mosquito or a virus is sure to make our life miserable. Thirdly, misery is caused by nature, adidaivik, floods, droughts, famine, earthquakes, hurricanes, etc. are devastating calamities imposed upon us through the agency of nature. A volcanic eruption at Pompeii devoured 20,000 people under 20 feet high lava layer. The recent tsunami tidal wave disaster swallowed 380,000 lives in a few minutes. Even if these come only occasionally, they wreak havoc whenever they come. And moreover, we are being constantly tormented by the changes in the weather, such as scorching heat, freezing cold, and untimely rains. Who can say that he is not being harassed constantly by these problems? The very fact that more than a dozen tranquilizers or painkillers are advertised on TV shows that there must be a lot of suffering. Everyone is spending every moment to preserve his life, belongings, kith and kin, jobs and posts, reputation, etc. But the world we live in takes away all this eventually, despite our efforts to hold on to them. Thus a wise person would ask these questions: why I am suffering? Wonder why should our lives be ridden with the anxiety of facing and tackling one your problem after another? Is it all the life is meant for? Or is there a life of eternal joy and never inhabited by sufferings? What is the need to search for God? Why can't just be a good person? In modern times, we see youngsters work over 14 to 16 hours in a software company or for some agency, and they spend the rest of the time in restaurants or clubs with friends. When we are waiting for a particular bus, all other buses come and go except the one that we are waiting for. What else can we do other than become frustrated? One thing that we could realize is, I'm not God. The supreme controller of situation or things. Not even our local buses. We cannot even control our local buses. It is He who puts us in suffering and happiness in this world according to our karma. Napoleon Bonaparte was such a famous king of his time that there was a statue of Napoleon in Paris which with the slogan, Napoleon is France and France is Napoleon. Although one may be proud of accomplishing many great things in life, but one cannot be a hero forever. During the last part of years, Napoleon was kept arrested. Chris Reeves acted as Superman in the movie by the same name. In this movie, he performed miracles and amazing feats, and that had made people worship him like God. In 1995, he met with an accident. He was thrown off a horse and was crippled, neck down. Thus, it may be nice to dream of being Superman ourselves, but the truth is that in this world, we are like the helpless ant. Helpless ant in the midst of this Atlantic Ocean. The only son of one of the richest men was eaten alive by cannibals on an island when he had gone for researching on tribal culture. A boatload of his assistants were following him, but they reached him too late. Muhammad Ali, the famous world heavyweight boxing champion, who was practically undefeatable, proclaimed himself as the greatest. Later, when he got Parkinson's disease, his hands became invalid and he could not even lift a cup of coffee. When someone reminded him about the earlier slogans, I am the greatest, he replied, yes, I am the greatest fool. Because no one can claim to be the greatest other than God. Why do even such great personalities suffer from problems? God is the root of all existence, and if we can get to know Him, we can find a permanent solution to all these problems of life. Only in human life are we endowed with the intelligence to inquire, why is everyone suffering? Why am I suffering? Is there no permanent solution to these problems? Should I cry in vain and die in pain? Or can I do something about it? The first aphorism of the Vedanta Sutra says, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you have achieved a human body, you should inquire about the absolute truth. All the advancements in science and technology, whether in the form of a grinder, fan, car or washing machine, are oriented towards eliminating or reducing the problems of our life. Everyone is struggling to increase happiness unlimitedly and eliminate all sufferings. But despite all of man's efforts, we are increasing our sufferings unlimitedly and is scarcely able to trace happiness in the rat race. Have we become successful in counteracting the real problems of life, birth, old age, disease and death? We have only become experts in covering up the reality. In fact, scientific advancements means newer and more ingenious ways of covering up the reality. So what is the reality? Birth, old age, death and disease. The modern science has come up with many sophisticated technological gadgets which give a superficial covering of comfort and advancement of life. But actually, when one gets a deeper understanding, one learns that Below this razzle and dazzle, the problems of life still persist. We still have to suffer due to old age, disease and death. Man is trying to create a heaven and hell, but he's covering up the reality business of business will very soon be exposed. Despite his much total technological growth, man has not become happy because the problems created by technology keep tormenting him. Neither has he found the technology helpful in solving the real problems of life. Based on one principle was such as electricity or electromagnetic radiation, thousands of appliances such as fans, grinder, washing machine, mobile, TV, etc. are floated amongst the masses. The gullible masses forget God, who created the principal laws of electricity, electromagnetic waves, etc., and become falsely proud of possessing these appliances. Without such fundamental laws made by this Supreme Lawmaker, God, all our mobiles and TVs would be rendered useless. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, give God a Nobel Prize. But the so-called advancement in science and technology has not even been able to solve the real problems of life. It has only intoxicated man to become godless, ignoring the prime duty of Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, the modern educated man is purchasing the attractive comforts of the materialistic civilization at the expense of ignoring knowledge of the soul and God. Such a life with no proper direction will only make our miseries more unbearable and in the future too. Fortunately, there is a perfect solution, Krishna consciousness, God consciousness. By understanding who am I, who is God, what is my relationship with God, and acting in accordance with this wisdom, we can not only get rid of these real problems of life, but also attain an external life full of bliss and knowledge. Don't you want that? If you ask someone how this universe began, people simply murmur, Big Bang. Whenever there is a Big Bang due to some bomb blast in your town or somewhere in the world, train, you can be sure of two things. People would be curious to know who created the explosion, whether terrorists or soldiers. The explosion might have caused only damage and destruction and nothing good of valuable must have come out of it. The universe we live in is not just some lump of floating material, but a perfect residence with arrangement for food, water, heat, light, medicine, etc. For all living beings to live in harmony, no one would expect a beautiful multi-storied housing apartment replete with all the facilities for food, water, supply, light and electricity, hospital facility, etc., to spring up from a Big Bang explosion. If someone is adamant in arguing on this point, he might be told to start a small Big Bang construction company and see whether he can create housing apartments based on his Big Bang belief. Because according to him, such a great universe came from a Big Bang. At least he can hope to create some apartments through a small bang explosion. Encyclopedia Britannia admits it should be emphasized that no theory of the origin of solar system has at one general acceptance. all involve highly improbable assumptions. Thus, with such highly improbable theories, and atheists try to deny God as origin of the controller of the universe. According to the Big Bang theory, everything began from a point of infinite temperature, infinite density, infinitesimal size, that is physically indescribable, mathematically unverifiable, with beyond all conception of space and time. Does it sound like a scientific theory? Now, where did the point come from? Here is the scientific face, the same difficulty as the religious, they taunt with the question, where did God come from? And just as the religion is respond with the answer that God is the cause of all causes, the scientists are faced with the prospect of declaring a mathematical, indescribable, physically unreliable point of infinite density and temperature of infinitesimal size existing before all conceptions of time and space as the cause of all causes. The choice is yours, whether you want to accept God or a point as the supreme cause of all causes. Thus, believing in an empirical or physical scientific theory requires just as much faith as in believing that a personal God creates and maintains the universe. Scientists generally claim that nothing is accepted in the field of science without proper experimental evidence. If we can challenge, where is the proof that such a point existed? It is more wise to assume that God, the supreme truth, endowed with unlimited energies, is the cause of all causes, than to assume a point as the supreme truth. We'll continue next week.
Oh,